The semi-annual warehouse clearance event is on at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $1,000 store-wide with our lifetime price guarantee and 100% comfort guarantee. Why shop anywhere else? Limited time clearance savings only at Sleep Outfitters. Visit sleepoutfitters.com.
Welcome to the Jazz Shapers podcast from Mishkon Dorea. What you're about to hear was originally broadcast on Jazz FM. However, the music has been cut due to rights issues.
This is Jazz Shapers with Elliot Moss on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkon Dorea. It's business, but it's personal. Listening colour.
Welcome to Jazz Shapers with me, Elliot Moss, bringing the shapers of the business world together with the musicians shaping jazz, soul and blues. My guest today is Vinita Ratti, founder and CEO of Sistango, a digital engineering firm specialising in generative AI. It's very topical, isn't it? Web3, automation and cloud solutions. Growing up in a very traditional Indian family where women weren't expected to go out and work, Vinita wanted to make her mark and do something different. Following a passion for tech from endless nights playing Minesweeper and learning to program on a computer her father gave her, Vinita became the first in her family to attend university and started work as a software engineer. Having moved to London and climbed the ranks at Goldman Sachs, Vinita launched Sistango in 2012 with her husband Nilesh. They're now an Indian-listed global consultancy working with over 450 clients, as well as being a certified partner of Amazon Web Services, AWS, and Google Cloud. And yes, there's more. As the founding member of the London branch of Women Who Code, Vinita remains dedicated to increasing female representation in the tech industry. What a treat you are just about to have with her here. Hello to you. It's fabulous that you've come here all the way originally from Indore. You came to the UK in 2007.
January, yes.
Does it feel like a lifetime ago, Vinita?
100%. It's been like 18 years. I think my life has changed upside down now.
An Indian woman comes and makes her life in London. Is that what you thought you would do when you were a kid?
Not really. I don't think I knew what I wanted to do. It just happened.
And when you were a kid, what was the, you know, you were born, I think, I'm not going to give away your age, much younger than me, but let's say you were born in the early 80s, I'm imagining. What was life like for young girls and women in the 80s in India? Were there aspirations aplenty for women in the workplace, or was it something else at that stage?
Well, when I was born, I think for the first 5 years, we lived in a small town. So it was not even Indore. It was like a village next to Indore.
People don't know, Indore is about an hour from Mumbai on the plane, slightly east and slightly to the center.
Yes. So we used to live in a village / small town next to Indore. Very small schools. I don't think even that was an English medium school. So it was probably a Hindi medium school where I grew up. I think I studied there until third standard before my mom said that either they shift to Indore or she'll send me to hostel because she doesn't want me to study there. So I think it was her who made our whole family move from that small town to Indore.
And was the point of that you would get a better education there?
Yes. I think she just wanted to make sure that I have a better life. So I had known very later on in my life that she had career aspirations when she was growing up. But then because where she was coming from, she didn't really have the opportunity. So I think she was seeing that in me. And maybe that's why she wanted to give me the platform, like, you know, that I ended up getting afterwards.
Have you realized much later in life that that was a pretty special thing to happen?
100%. A lot of things you realize after that has happened.
It's almost like I was saying to someone the other day, you sort of wake up as you get older because you have to in a way, and you're a parent, you're married, and you came to the UK indeed because Nilesh, your husband, came to the UK to study. Being the first, I believe, in your family to go to university as well, you studied computer science engineering. Again, what was that like at that stage to be not just the first, but also a woman? I mean, this is obviously a strange conversation for some people going, well, what do you mean? Of course, there's, you know, I don't know what the percentages are, but women go to university in India. Of course they do. But at that point in your family, that was unusual.
So see, growing up, I think I've always seen that divide between how males were treated differently from females, right? And I think somehow deep in my heart, I didn't want that to happen to me. And I think I figured that that happens probably because males usually will go out, work, earn money for the family versus, like, you know, women will probably run the house. I think that was my driving, I would say, motivation. And that made me go out. And thankfully, my parents always supported that. So they allowed me to go to the university and, like, you know, pursue my engineering. And then when it actually came to campus placement, they allowed me to do my job as well at the time. So I think I was just fortunate and lucky and probably was in the right place at the right time.
Vinita Ratti is my business shape today. She's the founder of Sistango. They do clever things. They do a lot of, well, actually, in your own words, I'm going to say it's software and all this and that. But you tell me, what's your pitch if you were selling it to me and I was going to be a potential client? Perish the thought.
So we help convert your ideas into a tangible product. And we help then, like, you know, shape your go-to-market strategy, take it to the market, and then help evolve it from there based on user feedback.
And it's all technology,
it's
essentially.
All technology.
It's software.
Yes, yes.
It's development of software. It's the user experience, the UX, as it were.
Yeah.
And
then
this,
we make use of all the niche technologies, such as Gen AI, which is, like, you know, quite a buzzword right now. Web3, blockchain, like, you know, crypto. And then automate as much as possible and deploy it on cloud. So largely cloud native.
So whatever it is, you will find the right technology to use to bring to life the product and the service that the client wants to bring to life.
Yes.
And that's across fintech. That's energy. It's in law, hospitality, lifestyle. And you're in London, indoor, and in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And that started in 2012. But I just want to go back to you. You come to the U.K. Your first job in the U.K. is with, is
Goldman
it with
Sachs.
Goldman Sachs. We've heard of Goldman Sachs. And you're working there, again, in a software capacity.
Yes. I started as a software engineer.
So here's the thing. You've gone out of this world, the world of the smaller village. Before Indore, Indore is not a small city, Indore is a big city, but you go from there, you come to the UK, you get a job at one of the biggest investment banks in the world, you have a really stable life, you're getting promoted, and something compels you to say, I don't want to do this, I want to do my own thing. And my question is, why? Where's that compulsion from?
I think it probably goes back to the desire to do something different and stand out, right? So I think when I got promoted as a VP at Goldman, this was like 2011, right at the time when I was going on maternity, I started thinking, what is it that I want to do next? And if this is something that I want to, like, you know, do all my life, right? And I did those calculations as in, if I continue at Goldman for another 5 years, 10 years, maybe I'll become MD, maybe I'll grow to a partner, that's it. But then there are 1,000 partners that Goldman has, like, worldwide. Is that what I would want to see myself doing? And then it went back to, like, you know, when I was at the university, Google was a thing at the time. I've always said this, that Google was the company I always looked up to. I wanted to work there and whatnot. So we figured that if there is a time I should be trying something, it was then. And that's it.
But that's incredible. You know, there's wisdom. And we mentioned as you get older, you sort of get better at understanding what's really going on in the world and your own life. Did you sort of take yourself aside, Vinita? Because people listening will go, God, how do you get to the point where you tip yourself over and say, I'm going to do this myself? Was there a moment, or was it a process over a few weeks and months where you literally sat down with a blank piece of paper and said, what do I want to do with the rest of my life? Or was it a bit less?
I think I've always been an impromptu person. I'll decide today I want to do this tomorrow and I'll do it tomorrow without really thinking much about it. And which is why a lot of people around me was very surprised at why am I even taking this step. I think thankfully it worked out. I don't know if it would have not worked out, then what would have happened? But here I am.
Stay with me for much more from my guest, Vinita Ratti. She's back again in a couple of minutes, but right now we're going to hear a taster from the Michigan Academy Digital Sessions. They can be found on your podcast platform of choice. Michigan's Ashley Williams and Michael Rose, a senior associate at DRD Partnership, discuss how companies can navigate their AI strategy.
The Michigan Academy Digital Sessions. Conversations on the legal topics affecting businesses and individuals today.
What are the top tips for companies or advisors of companies to help them navigate AI strategy and really cut through all the noise that's out there?
So I think there's a couple of things they can do. First of all, recognize where AI could fit into your operations and what you do. It's one of those things where you can easily get lost in all the potential different things you could do with it. But start out with what do we actually deliver on a day-to-day basis? What are the AI tools that are available, and therefore, where could we fit them in? Secondly, how can AI impact your ability to deliver your service? So it could be an external thing. It could be that AI could be used from the outside and could impact your ability to deliver. So in our line of communications, we're increasingly aware that AI tools can be used to potentially create hostile campaigns against our clients, or increasingly the way that people are looking into companies or entities or individuals is by using AI tools rather than perhaps the more traditional Google search. So identifying where those external factors are. And then if you're trying to get your positive message out there because you're using AI in a really innovative sense that you want people to know more about, how can you make that story linked to a real, tangible, everyday impact that people can really get behind? I think it's easy with a topic like this to get lost in some quite technical, quite jargony language. But how can you get your argument down in simple terms that people will understand and can immediately relate to? And similarly, if you're using AI in a more complex way that perhaps might create a bit of uncertainty or a bit of fear in your target audience, how can you explain in a simple way that they will understand what you're doing, why you're doing it, and how it maybe isn't something for them to be too worried about?
The Mishcon Academy Digital Sessions. To access advice for businesses that is regularly updated, please visit mishcon.com. Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishcon Dorea. It's business, but it's personal.
You can enjoy all our former Business Shapers on the Jazz Shapers podcast, and you can hear this very program again if you pop Jazz Shapers into your favorite podcast platform. I won't judge you. My guest today is Vinita Ratti, founder and CEO of Sistango, a digital engineering firm specializing in Gen AI, Web3, automation, cloud solutions, and many other things too around that space. So we were talking before about, you know, you just do stuff, Vinita, and you made this decision. And maybe you didn't overthink it. You just said, I know that I don't want to work at Goldman Sachs for the next 10 years. You kind of got to that point. And it could have been insert name of any other company. When you set your thing up, was there ever a sense of what have I done? Or was it plain sailing from day one?
Oh, no, all the times. All the times. Especially because it was me and my husband doing together, right? So there were always these conversations that we would have at the dinner table that will make both of us uncomfortable, because I think I'm very difficult to handle when it comes to work. And I have high aspirations, I have high ambitions, but then I'm also very demanding. And so
of him,
of whatever I do.
So that'd be of him as well, poor Nilesh. Yeah.
So I think there were times when I really doubted my decision. But I think with like anything in my life, I just kept going. I just kept doing. And again, in the end, it worked out.
And why do you say you're difficult?
Because I have certain standards that I always wanted to follow. And I always want to be the better version of myself every next day, which means a lot of reflection, which means a lot of retrospection, and which means, like, you know, every day I want to improve. And so I expect that from everyone around me, and which makes life a little difficult.
And where do you think that's come from? I know you've spoken in the things I've read about your father in incredibly glowing terms, and you just mentioned your mum too, this the work ethic and all that. But this drive, you know, people often ask, is it nature or nurture? What do you think for you? Where's it from?
I think it was nurture. I guess it goes back to how my childhood was, and the desire to make myself known and get that respect.
What is that known thing? What, that's really interesting. I mean, look, India, huge country, huge. And yet you're going, I want to be known. What's that about? I find it fascinating because it's not normal. I mean, a lot of people want to do well in life, and like they were at the Goldman Sachs of the world. They go, fantastic, settle back, carry on, manage my life. But for you, there's always something else.
There's always, as I said, I want to be a better version of myself every next day, right? And what that means is whatever I've done until today is not sufficient for me, and which means that I have to do something different, like, you know, next day when I wake up.
And in terms of coming here in 2007, was that the change that you needed, do you think? Do you think that was the perfect antidote,
yes,
to where you were at in your life?
Yes, 100%. Because again, I've never gone outside of my city on my own, you know. So the first time I managed to, and then Nilesh was not there with me when I actually flew from, like, you know, Indore to London. It was just me by myself.
And you'd never been there before?
No. So that was my first time flying out on my own with nobody else and outside of the country, you know. So it was...
But how are you feeling? I mean, that's all those things. That's an extraordinary number of firsts. You know, it's you could have said, well, I flew from Indore to Mumbai. It was a Bombay. It was a pretty big shock. But here we are. You're talking about coming to the UK. You don't know anybody. You have no family. And you're about to make your way in life. What was that like in your head?
I think at the time, I just wanted to be with Nilesh because we just gotten married in December. He was here and I wanted to be with him. So we just decided I'll fly here and then we'll see. And going back to what I was saying earlier, I think I'm quite an impromptu person. So we decided we want to be here. We just came here and again, it worked out.
Don't overthink things. That's what's going on over here.
No, what I say is, if you think you want to do something, go for it. I think if you have the determination and if you have compassion, like for people around you, it will just all work out for you.
So the business has grown exponentially. You took the company public in 2023. Why? Because I have this conversation with people who are, they're happily, they own their own equity. They might get a little bit of venture capital at the beginning. They might get some private equity in the middle. Yes, there's a progression to public, but at what stage did you decide that was right for you?
So see, we bootstrapped our company. We never took any external investments whatsoever. I think in 2023, there was a moment when one of my friend from school, he reached out to me and he said, what is it that you're wanting to do next? Where are you taking Sustango? And I think we were at a point where we were actually exploring what is it that we want to do next? What can we do differently, especially in a saturated market where we are, right? And it just happened to us where we thought that if we go public, number one, I think we will probably be able to differentiate ourselves because then we'll have a lot of compliance, like, you know, a lot of governance inbuilt within our organization. And probably our customers will take us more seriously when it comes to, like, you know, deciding between one company versus another. So I think that was our first motivation. Our second motivation probably was we wanted to grow the company. We felt if we were to go down the path of inorganic growth, which is like, you know, go out and acquire other companies, then probably this will allow us to unlock the value of equity that we have. Because remember, me and my husband kind of like have 100% equity between us. Mm. So we thought that maybe this will unlock the value of equity that we have, and we will then be able to use our equity as currency when it comes to, like, you know, doing these transactions. And I think we are on that path where, like, you know, we are finding that other companies who we are very interested in, we want to merge with or acquire them, they are interested in the equity of the company now. Also, because, like, you know, India is a growing economy, and everybody knows that, like, you know, if you want to ride the wave of the growth, then you want to be in the middle of it. And getting a share of a listed company in India allows, like, you know, other companies to be able to do that. So it kind of like served two purposes.
It made perfect sense, basically. Yeah. And the growth of your knowledge of what it took. There's one thing being a fantastic practitioner in the world of technology, and I've read about you describing yourself as a kind of a tech person before an entrepreneur, but you are an entrepreneur as well, obviously, because you've not just set up this business, but a number of other entities and businesses as well. But in terms of you understanding what to do next and focusing on that versus being a practitioner, have you enjoyed that journey?
Oh, yes. In fact, even the listing process, in the hindsight, I think it gave us a lot of discipline. See, as the solo founders, or as, like, you know, husband and wife as the founder, you don't really get used to being accountable for what you're doing, right? You don't have to answer anybody. You just do whatever is right. You feel right for you, right?
Sounds heavenly.
Exactly. But when you list yourself, there are investors who start asking questions. And that means that you have to really start thinking of what is it that I want to do in the next 6 months? What is it that we want to do in 12 months? So I think that process itself gave us, like, you know, a lot of discipline now and a lot of aspirations and a lot of inspirations as well.
And you like that discipline because you must have enjoyed the freedom, Vinita, before the public listing. Because, again, having looked at public listings very, very closely, there is a hell of a lot of compliance and a lot of governance, as you said. But for you, it sounds like you've enjoyed that. That's benefited the development of your business.
I think it goes back to having the support system, in my opinion, that I have created around me, right? So I told you, this was my friend, came to me, asked me, what is it that you want to do with Sustango? It happened that he ran the whole listing process for us. So, like, you know, the moment we decided we want to list, which was in August, I think, we had to move our headquarters to India because our headquarters was UK. it took us like 6 months to list, you know, and I think for a lot of people, it was an achievement that how can you just do that,
that
in six
quickly,
months?
I was going to say that's rapid.
Yeah. So I think having that support system where a lot of our friends, I've said this number of times, like, you know, we have been lucky to have people to help us raise our kids as well. So I think all of that has actually helped a lot.
I'm going to talk more about your support system and a little bit more in my final chat with you, Vanita. So you better be ready for that. It's Vanita Ratti. She's my business shaper and staying with me despite that I just said and her fear in her eyes thinking, what's he going to ask me? We've also got some music from Ezra Collective. That's in just a moment here on Jazz FM. Don't go anywhere.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkonda Raya. It's business. But it's personal.
Vanita Ratti is my business shaper just for a few more minutes. That support system that you mentioned and I wanted to bring up. You've talked about we have nannies. My husband's been incredible. Again, women, unfortunately, still the paradigm is a woman needs lots of support because, you know, it's different when a woman runs a business. Of course, you don't talk about men having support systems. But for you, you have managed it. What have been the keys to the success of the support system?
So I just want to touch upon what you just now said. Look, it's a fact, and I think that's nature, where women are wired differently. And when I say they are wired differently, meaning we are very emotional deep at our heart. We have this forever guilt where we feel that we haven't done enough for our kids and we aren't doing enough for our family because we are focusing on our career, which probably is not like, you know, something that we should focus full time on. Having said that, because that's something that I always wanted to do, I wanted to create my identity. I wanted to have my mark. I think I started reading books. This was probably back to my manager at Coleman 2008, where he lent me a book and said, you should read this, right? That's how I started reading books. And I ended up reading book of Indra Nooyi. She was the one who said in her book that it's very important for women to create a good support system around them, largely because of how we are and who we are. And what that means is we shouldn't just try to do everything all by ourselves. We should look to people to help us out in different situations. And for males, it's largely females who help them out, right? So every husband has a wife who looks after them, who looks after the family and whatnot. As a wife, sometimes it's very difficult to get a husband who just looks after the family. And especially in our case, because we both were working, I think it became even more important for us that we create the support system. And thankfully, we had ladies who supported us in raising our kids. Again, because we are in UK and we had no family at the time.
But very structured again, you thought it through. That you gave it, I mean, you know yourself, I guess, is what I'm thinking. As you said, you acknowledge that women are wired differently. And I think that's, for me, what's unlocked it for you. Because you go, yeah, of course we are. No big deal. I mean, I think people get hung up on difference and think that there shouldn't be any. But of course, that can't be right. There's something else about you and the business. Obviously, as a woman running a business, which is now publicly listed, you're the boss. You walk in and you've now got about 350 people that work for you, about 25% are women. And obviously, I know you've said aspirationally you want to get that to 50, and that must be right. But your background in terms of your family and the Marwari group in India, famous for business, do you still feel the generations behind you as you kind of approach life? I was asking about nurture and nature. Actually, there's something genetic, isn't there?
100%, yeah. So my dad originally was a farmer. When he came to Indore, he started setting up his own business. He tried different businesses. So he started with being a grain merchant. He then became a distributor of castor oil. Afterwards, he became a seed merchant. And then right now he runs factory that produces different kinds of attas and meals in Indore and the nearby cities. So I think that
Atta is grain.
Yeah, great. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so that entrepreneurship actually comes probably from him. That work ethic, I think, also comes from him. I've seen him coming back home at 6 o'clock in the morning after watering and irrigating fields. And I guess that has just come in naturally into me as well.
It's been so nice talking to you and hearing this, I now realize, quite natural progression. In a funny way, even though it doesn't look like the line was straight, you're just going to keep on doing stuff. And we didn't even touch on some of the other businesses which you founded. But if you want to go and have a look at Women Hack for Nonprofits, which is the, you founded that business, you're the co-founder of Women Who Code, the London chapter, there's that over there, there's Studio FinTech, there's a, how do you say the wealth management?
Shuttiya,
which is another platform for Indian wealth management for businesses. It goes on. I have a feeling that by tomorrow you'll have another five. Thank you so much for spending time with me, Avanita. It's been great. Just before I let you disappear, what's your song choice and why have you chosen it?
So it's Frank Sinatra's Fly Me to the Moon. I think it just resonates my personality and that's what I want to be and want to do.
Fly Me to the Moon from Mr. Frank Sinatra. The song choice of my business shaper today, Vanita Rati. She talked about the importance of her parents and the role that they played in her becoming who she is today, whether it's her mum pushing for brilliant education or her dad being an incredibly hard worker and trying a whole bunch of stuff. She talked about the art of doing things, and she said if you want to do something, you just need to go for it. And finally, whatever she did, she focused on that important point around compassion. Have compassion for others, and everything will work out just fine. I loved that. That's it from Jazz Shapers. Have a lovely weekend.
Jazz Shapers on Jazz FM. In partnership with Mishkondareya. It's business, but it's personal.
We hope you enjoy that edition of Jazz Shapers. You'll find hundreds more guests available for you to listen to in our archive. To find out more, just search Jazz Shapers in iTunes or your favourite podcast platform, or head over to mishkon.com/Jazz Shapers.
The semi-annual warehouse clearance event is on at Sleep Outfitters. Save up to $1,000 store-wide with our lifetime price guarantee and 100% comfort guarantee. Why shop anywhere else? Limited time clearance savings only at Sleep Outfitters. Visit sleepoutfitters.com.